This thou knowest, that all they, now notice what Paul says, all of they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord, I love this verse, and this is my text. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. And if that's not how you pronounce that name, I'll ask him when we get to heaven, did we get your name right? But Paul said, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he, Onesiphorus, was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, that at Ephesus thou knowest very well. And in that 16th verse, where the Apostle Paul mentions the name of this individual, this man, Onesiphorus, we know very little about him other than what Paul mentions him in his writings in a couple of places. But he's praying for mercy to be upon the house of Onesiphorus because he said, for this man often refreshed me. And I want to talk to you this morning about on the thought or the subject of the refresher. The refresher. This epistle of 2 Timothy was the last letter that the Apostle Paul would write. It was not going to be long until he would face the chopping block of Nero. He would give his life as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes that later on in this second epistle to Timothy. And he tells Timothy, he said, you know, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered up. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. So it's getting close to the time of Paul to give his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we know Paul as we study the life of this great apostle of God. We know if there's one thing that we know about the Apostle Paul was that Paul was a man of praise and he was a man of joyfulness. And that Paul was always encouraging others to rejoice in the Lord, to always be thankful, to ever give thanks. And he admonished believers in that area all the time. And he was a man, Paul was, who was always, all of his ministry was spent in encouraging other people and lifting up others. He was always lifting the spirits of those who were down. And we have every reason to believe that the things that Paul taught to those and wrote in his epistles concerning praise and concerning joyfulness and thanking the Lord on a continual basis, we have every reason to believe that Paul practiced those very commandments that he issued by the Spirit of God. We see and we know for a fact that he and Silas praised God in the Philippian jail when everything was against them, and God sent a miraculous earthquake and opened those prison doors and got them out of there. But here in this particular passage, Paul is in prison. He's in the prison there at Rome, locked away, and he's been forsaken by just about everybody. He's there all by himself, and some of his most faithful followers have left him. He records that and writes that in verse number 15. He said, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. And then he lists a name of two individuals, Phygellus and Hermogenes. And probably the reason, possibly the reason that he mentioned them is that this mass exodus or this desertion perhaps was led by these two men who persuaded many possibly to desert and to leave the Apostle Paul. Paul was all by himself, and he records later on in this epistle to Timothy how that his faithful follower, who was a faithful follower at one time by the name, a man by the name of Demas, who is recorded in other writings of Paul as being with Paul and helping Paul and working with Paul. But in this second epistle of Timothy, Paul writes concerning Demas and says to Timothy, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What a blow that must have been to the Apostle Paul. How that must have hurt his spirit and hit him very hard. Paul knew that shortly, here everybody's left him. He's sitting in this dungy, dirty prison cell by himself. He knew that shortly that he was going to have to give his life. God, no doubt, had revealed that to him. And with everything that Paul was going through, here was the man that was always encouraging others, and everything that he was facing, it's very possible that Paul got down himself just a little bit. I think we read about these great heroes of the Bible and we think that they never had a bad day, or they never got down, or they never allowed anything to hinder their walk with the Lord or their rejoicing or their faith. But I believe that Paul was a man just like me and just like you. Amen? Well, we know that fact about Elijah, because the Bible says that we're of like passions as Elijah, and he got discouraged. So I believe that Paul, in all that he was facing, very possibly could have been just a little bit down. But in this writing to Timothy, he mentions a man by the name of Onesiphorus. And apparently, from what we read here, this young man had came and visited Paul on several occasions. This wasn't the first time, because Paul mentioned that he often refreshed me. There was many times that he had came and visited the Apostle Paul. And every time that Onesiphorus came to Paul, he brought something to Paul. He brought him some cheer. He brought him some encouragement. Paul said this concerning this young man. He said, Onesiphorus refreshes me. He blesses me. He's refreshing to me. Well, what does that mean when you say concerning somebody or something that it refreshes you? You know how it is to be refreshed. And that word refresh actually means to revive. It means to recover strength. So Paul is saying here that this young man, when he came to me, he was a spiritual revival to me. He lifted me up. He encouraged me. That word refresh means to give new strength, to give cheer, or to enliven. And when you look it up in Webster's 1826 dictionary, it means to revive what is drooping. Anybody ever felt droopy? It means to revive what is drooping, as a rain refreshes plants. And you all can, we can all identify with that, because you've all seen those plants and those, you know, my wife's got those beautiful baskets of flowers hanging out there. And boy, right now they are all perked up. They look wonderful. But you know what? About July, if they're neglected a little bit and it gets hot and dry, if you notice how those things will droop and they'll wilt. But you know what you can do? You can refresh them with some fresh water, and you can take an old droopy dying plant and pour some fresh water in there, and it just kindly springs back to life. You can look at it the next day and it's altogether different. Why? Because it has been refreshed. It has been revived. It has recovered its strength. And that's what Paul's referring to concerning this man, Onesiphorus. When he came to him, he said on several occasions, he was a refreshing to me. He put spirit in me. He encouraged me. He cheered me up. How many know sometimes we could use some cheering up? Praise God. Amen. And we don't know the nature of the visit that Onesiphorus made, but we do know that it brought some encouragement to Paul. And it's amazing when you look up the name Onesiphorus. What do you think that name means? Do you know what that name means? The name Onesiphorus means help bringer. Praise God. It means help bringer. And that's exactly what he did. That was his ministry. He was a help bringer to bring help to other people. I believe that this was the vocation, if you will, of Onesiphorus. He was constantly refreshing people. He was busy putting heart back into folks. He was busy bracing people up. He brought courage to the cheerless and to the depressed. He ministered to Paul here in this Roman prison. But this wasn't the only time that he ministered to Paul, because Paul mentions there in verse number 18, I believe it was, how that he also ministered to him when he was at Ephesus, when he was going through a difficult time there. Guess who showed up? God had Onesiphorus there at Ephesus, and he was a refreshing and a blessing and a ministering to the Apostle Paul. Do you realize today how important the ministry of Onesiphorus was to Paul, and how important and necessary the same ministry of encouragement and cheering and building up and putting spirit and heart back into somebody that's down and that's drooping and that's discouraged? Do you know how important God deems that ministry of Onesiphorus? The refresher. Would somebody say, man, we need some refreshers in the church today. Has anybody here ever been in a place where you needed refreshing? Felt like you just squeezed out. You know, the psalmist David prayed and talked about the shepherd, how that the good shepherd restores my soul. And that word restore is like bringing life back into a lemon that's been all squeezed out, or an orange. You take an orange and put it on one of those juicer things, and the old timey ones, and you squeeze it out and there's just pulp there, but all the juice is gone. Man, that's the way sometimes we get in our spiritual lives, and we need some refreshing, and we need some uplifting, and we need some encouragement. Anybody ever been there? Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, what a great ministry that is being a refresher. Jesus himself. And that was the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ was involved in his earthly walk. He was busy going about. Acts 10:38 says that he went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was himself a refresher. He gave himself to the ministry of refreshing others. One of the great invitations that Jesus gave in chapter 11 of Matthew, Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus said there, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we're very familiar with that verse of Scripture. But when you study that phrase, "will give rest," actually, it's the same word, the same Greek word that's translated refreshed that the Apostle Paul used. It actually means to bring a refreshing. Moffat's translation actually translates it that way, where he translates it, "I will refresh you. Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden," Jesus said, "and I will refresh you." It's the same word used in 1 Corinthians 16:18 when the Apostle Paul mentioned the names of three individuals in that 17th and 18th verses, and he said concerning those three individuals at Rome, "They refreshed my spirit." See, that was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work, was the work of Jesus in his earthly ministry. But how many of y'all know that's still the ministry of the Lord Jesus today? He's calling to those who are laboring, who are heavy laden, who are weary, who are under a load of care, who are bearing the burdens of life. And he's saying, "Come unto me and I will give you rest. I will refresh you." Hallelujah. I need a refreshing and a reviving in my spirit every once in a while. How about you? Amen. I've got to have that. Praise God. It was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it still is today. Jesus is the river of water in a dry and thirsty land. Jesus is cheer for the cheerless. Jesus is light today for those who are sitting in darkness. Jesus is still hope for the hopeless. He's still busy working and moving and putting heart back into people. He is working to bring a refreshing to your life. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus, a prophecy that Isaiah gave in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 3 says concerning Jesus, and they've got it up on the screen, says a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment into truth. I'm sure you've read that verse many times. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Somebody say, well, what in the world does that mean? How does that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's talking about his ministry. And what that's saying is that the weak and those that are depressed and those whose flame is just about to go out, it's a smoking flax. It's saying concerning Jesus that he will not quench that. He won't snuff that out. When you feel yourself lacking in your spiritual walk, when you're down and you're discouraged and the flame and the fire and the unction of the Spirit is not there like it one time was or it should be, the Lord, you don't ever have to worry about the Lord coming by and putting that fire out or quenching that or putting it down. But what God will do, what the Lord Jesus Christ will do, is that he will come along and he'll tend to that, and he'll put some fresh oil in there, and he'll fan that flame with the wind of the Holy Spirit. He won't put your fire out, but he'll do everything that he can to build it back up and to put some life back in you and some encouragement back in you and cheer you up again. How many of y'all know Jesus wants you to be happy, happy, happy? Woo! Amen? We spend too much time in the mully grubs, and we need to get out of that. We don't need to be there. Amen? So this is the ministry of Jesus as a refresher and encourager. So I believe that anybody who chooses to do this ministry, to be a refresher, is patterning his or her life after the Master himself. Because that's what Jesus does. He picks people up that are down. Amen? Now listen, I think we can all agree this morning that those who refresh others are desperately needed within the body of Christ. They're needed in the church. The demand for this particular ministry of being a refresher is a universal demand for this ministry, because the reason is because everybody at one time or another needs to be refreshed. And I don't care, listen, doesn't matter to me how spiritual a person may be, how close to God they may live, how dedicated they may be to the Lord, what a great prayer life they may have, how they study the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us at one time or another get in that place where we need a refreshing. We need an encouragement. We need a pick-me-up. Amen? Because we're living in a fallen world, man. I'm telling you, things are not always going our way. So everybody at one time or another needs this ministry. That's why it's so vitally important. I mean, here we're reading the epistle of Paul to Timothy. And Paul, I think we all will agree, was a man of great faith and victory. He was probably the greatest example of what a Christian should be. Can you agree with that? I believe that the Apostle Paul was the greatest example of the life of Jesus Christ and what a Christian's supposed to be. He lived a life. If there ever was a man that lived a life close to God, the Apostle Paul lived a life that was close to God. Paul was constantly, and I mentioned this earlier, but he was constantly refreshing and cheering others, people all the time. He was always putting heart back into others. And I think that's something that pastors do, and evangelists and ministers of the gospel. We expect that from our pastor, from our shepherd. Isn't that right? Well, pastor, I need to talk to you. I'm down. I'm having some problems. So the pastor then, it's his responsibility and part of the calling of being a pastor to try to put some heart back into that individual. We're not going to snuff out that smoldering flame. We're not going to say, well, you just will give up and quit. You can't, we're tired of messing with you. No, the pastor's there to pick them up and to bring encouragement and to bring refreshing and put some heart and life back into that individual. We expect that from our pastor. And that's the way Paul was. He was constantly encouraging people. I mean, when the Apostle Paul, when he was on that ship, and he was on his way to Rome, and he was on that ship, and he had told them, he said, it's probably not a good idea for us to loose from Crete right now. We need to wait a little while. But man, everything looked good. The south wind was blowing softly. The sun was shining. All the conditions looked favorable. So the captain of that boat, that ship, decided to go ahead and sail. But it wasn't long. It wasn't long till a great storm came up, a Euroclodon. It was a nor'easter that came in. And for 14 days, 276 men were on board that ship. You find this in Acts chapter 27. 276 experienced sailors and seamen were on this ship in the midst of this storm. And the Bible said that it was so bad, it was so dark, they didn't see sun or moon or stars for 14 days. They were rocked with this tempest. They had thrown everything overboard that they could possibly throw overboard. And the Bible said that it came to the place where all hope that they would be saved was taken away. There was no hope. All of these men had given up hope, and they knew that they were going to drown, that they were going to lose their lives in this ship because it was going under. But when everybody had lost hope, there was one little Holy Ghost-filled Jewish preacher that was on board that ship that had to get to Rome. And I'm going to tell you something. As long as Paul was on that ship and God had planned for him to get to Rome, there was not any storm that was going to take that ship down, because God's man was on there and God's plan was get him to Rome. Woo! The devil tried to stop it, but God said, there ain't no storm gonna stop the plan of God for my life. Amen? And this one little Holy Ghost-filled Jewish preacher stood up and looked at these 276 experienced sailors, and he said, first of all, he said, you guys should have listened to me. Oh, preachers want to say that sometimes, but you can't. Amen? He said, but Paul did. He said, you all should have listened to me and not to have loosed from Crete, because if you would have listened to me, you wouldn't be in this mess right now. But nevertheless, forget about all that. He said, nevertheless, I've got a good word for you today. Paul said, cheer up, guys. Be of good cheer. For this ship's not going to, we're not going to lose our lives in this. The ship's going down, but praise God, he said, there stood by me tonight an angel of the Lord, and that angel reassured me, and that angel told me, don't fear anything, Paul. I've given you all them that sail with thee. Not one life will be lost. And he looked at those guys and he said, listen, guys, I believe God. It will be as it was told me. He said, cheer up. Be of good cheer. Take heart. Everything's gonna be all right. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. That's what church is all about. The church is an oasis in the midst of a burning hot desert. And you can come in here after fighting the enemy and going through problems all week long. You can come, here's a place, listen to me, here's a place you can come to be refreshed. Here's a place you can come to be revived. Why? Because the river of the Holy Spirit is flowing here. Why? Because there's rivers of life, rivers of living water that are flowing here in this church. It's an oasis in the desert. That's why we sing praises to God. That's why we pray and believe God for the moving of the Holy Spirit, so you can come in here down and discouraged and going through problems, but you can leave here refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. You can leave here refreshed and uplifted. That's God's plan. And here was Paul, who was a great encourager of others. A man that was, that we could just be an imitator of Paul and his walk with God and his prayer life. That we could have the faith that he had. Power of the Holy Ghost that he had. What a great man of God. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Mightily used of God. Are you following me? An encourager of others. But even Paul, this great man of God, this great encourager of others, even Paul needed the ministry of Onesiphorus. See, sometimes if we're not careful, people get so wrapped up in themselves and think, well, I'm such a mighty person of faith, I don't need anything from anybody. I can handle this situation all by myself. But you will never get to that level of faith where you don't need anybody. Got quiet on me. But Paul needed the ministry of Onesiphorus. Paul needed, at this point in his life, a visit from a refresher. Are you with me? Paul needed that visit. And so if Paul needed that visit from this refresher, is it possible that you and I could require some refreshing at times in our life as well? I'll be the first to admit there's times I need refreshing. There's times I need encouragement. I love to encourage others. I believe that's what God's called me to do. The majority of our ministry and preaching here at Abundant Life, I think you will agree, is lifting up the church, building up the saints, edifying the believers. Amen? Amen. That's what God's called us to do. I believe that's an important part of the ministry. But how many of y'all know? And you know, we don't advertise it. We don't get up here. Hey, there's times I get up here on Sunday morning, put a smile on my face, and I'll preach an encouraging message to you when I myself need to be lifted up. So my point is, it doesn't matter who you are or how much you know of the Word or how close to God you live or how many hours a day you pray, there's going to be times in your life you're going to need the ministry of a refresher. Somebody to come along like Onesiphorus was that will visit you, that will put something back in you and be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Can you say amen? See, there's so many people today. We run into it all the time. You deal with it on a daily basis as in the ministry that people that are discouraged. There's many believers today that are baffled and defeated in their walk with the Lord. They have more tears than they do laughter. They are hurting and they're lonely and they're weary and they're ready to faint. But that's why the work of refreshing is so needed. That's why the ministry of the refresher is so needed. God needs those in His work that can go into somebody's life that is hopeless and change their hopelessness into an expectancy. That's what God's looking for today in your life. Listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're at with with the Lord today. You, if you're saved, if you've got His Spirit inside you, you can be an encourager and a refresher to somebody else. You can put hope and you can put life back into somebody that's about ready to falter and fall by the wayside, about ready to faint and to throw in the towel and to give it up. You can put life back into them. The church needs those that can put heart into the faint and that will send them back out into the battle with a renewed strength and a spirit of hope and victory. God, give us some refreshers today. God's looking for that ministry today in His church. Paul needed it. If he didn't, he wouldn't have mentioned Onesiphorus. God, give mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. For he diligently sought me out. Put some effort into it. He's in Rome. He don't know probably where he's going. He just knows Paul's been in prison there. But Onesiphorus had such a burden and such a zeal and such a desire to be a help and a blessing and an encouragement to Paul that he went around the city of Rome trying to find out where that prison was. Where can I find the Apostle Paul? And it said that he diligently searched me out and he found me and he ministered to me and he said, thank God for Onesiphorus, for he has often, many times, refreshed my spirit. He knew just when to show up. He knew just when to come. He knew just what to say. He knew just what to do to put some heart and spirit back into the life of the Apostle Paul when he was facing a discouraging day in his life. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Just listen. Be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Just a week or so ago, last week or week before, I was up in the prayer room and I was in prayer and I was fellowshipping with the Lord and communing with God and just praying for different people and different needs. And I was praying for some folks and the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart a word for them. Just dropped in my heart a scripture for them. And the Spirit of the Lord said, send them a text. Give them this word. So I just, right there in prayer, I reached over and grabbed my phone and sent them a text out. Got just, it wasn't long, a few minutes, got a text back of how it encouraged them and lifted them up and strengthen them. Are you following what I'm saying? See, be led by the Spirit. I'm talking about being a refreshing to somebody that's in need. You may not even know that they're down or what they're going through, but the Holy Ghost does. And if you can be led by the Holy Ghost can use you to be, we won't change your name to Onesiphorus, but He can use you to be an Onesiphorus, a help bringer to somebody that's in need. Amen. Just a few years ago, when we were still in the other church, there was some folks that were also going through some struggles. And the Lord impressed that upon me that day and said, here's a word for them. I want you to send them this word of encouragement. So I had the lady's phone number that I'd gotten from my wife. And so I just sent her this text of encouragement, sent it out to her. Well, she didn't have my cell phone number. So the text went to her. But she didn't know who it came from, but it blessed her. And it lifted her up. And I got a text back, and she said, I don't know who you are. And then it dawned on me, well, she doesn't have my number. And she said, I don't know who you are, but what you just sent to me really blessed me. It ministered to me. It lifted my spirits. Thank you so much for being obedient to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It's picking up a phone. It's going with a visit. That's what Onesiphorus did to Paul. He searched him out. Of course, they didn't have texting. How in the world would we have made it then? What would our teenagers have done? Because they didn't have texting and they didn't have, cell phones and they didn't have internet and all this. But there's so, Facebook, but there's so many ways. This, at that time, Onesiphorus went and paid a personal visit to Paul. There's so many ways that you can be an encourager to somebody else, that you can be a refresher, a help bringer to somebody else. Just letting folks know. You know, you may not even know that somebody's going through something, but the Lord may impress upon you, hey, just let them know we appreciate you. Vicki and I got a text from a couple last week, one day last week, I believe it was. And said, Pastor Rick, we just want you all to know that we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Do you know what? That's a little bitty thing. You know, that's a little small thing. But you don't realize how much that meant at that time, on that day, in that particular situation. I'm talking about being a refresher. A refresher. We need those. Listen, Isaiah 50 and 4 says this, and this should be the prayer of every one of us today. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. I think we need to pray, God, teach my tongue some things. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Oh God, teach us that we would have the tongue of the learned, that we would know how and when to speak that word in season to he that is weary. Let me tell you something, church. Let me tell you something, Christian, believer. Let me tell you, this right here, the ministry of a refresher, is the ministry in which that everyone can be successful in. Did you know that? See, because all of us can't be singers. Well, I believe everybody, every Christian should sing, but not every Christian should have a microphone. But that right, Sister Denise? Amen. but we are singers. We sing and we worship the Lord. But not everybody can be a singer and a praise worship leader or whatever. Not everybody can be a preacher. Now, we all should witness and minister the Word of God, but not every one of us don't have a pulpit ministry. We can't stand behind the pulpit. Not all of us can play music and guitars and drums and piano. Not all of us are musicians and we can't excel in that area. And not everybody can give large amounts of money to the work of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you one thing that everybody can do. There is a ministry for you. There is a place in the body of Christ for you. Everybody can be a refresher. Everybody can be an encourager. Everybody can be an uplifter instead of a bring downer. Come on, amen. We don't need no bring downers. We need some uplifters in the body of Christ. Let me close this out. In the book of Genesis, in the 5th chapter, we read about different genealogies there. And it's kind of boring, I guess, to some people when you're reading it. Because Genesis chapter 5 talks about somebody, you know, this one was born, and they begat so-and-so, and they died. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and they died. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and they died. And so-and-so, and it goes on down the line through that 5th chapter of Genesis. This one begat this one, and then he died. It just, they step out, they're born. They step out of the cradle. They take a few steps, and then they step into the coffin. And do you know that's the way life is? I said, do you know that's the way life is? We're born, we live. I wish I had time to talk about the dash. I heard somebody talk about, you know, on a tombstone, it's got the person's name and then the year they were born, then a dash, and the year they died. And that dash is where you and I are right now. We're in the dash, in between those two dates. And the dash isn't very long. But they live, they begat, and they died. But then you come down in that 5th chapter of Genesis to a man by the name of Enoch. And Enoch was born, and he lived 65 years, and he begat his son Methuselah. Y'all heard the name Methuselah. Amen. Some of us, you know, will say, well, she or he is old as Methuselah. And so Enoch begat Methuselah when he was 65. And then for 300 years, it said that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. And it says that he was not, for God took him. God just, one fellow illustrated it one time and said, Enoch would walk with God every day, and he would get up and walk with God and walk with God. And finally, he, in his walk with God, they got closer to God's house than they were Enoch's house. And God said, Enoch, why don't you just come home with me and spend the day? And so Enoch just went home with God to spend the day, and he's still there because there's no night where God is. So he's still spending the day with God. But God just caught him up and translated him and took him to heaven. And it said that Enoch was not, for God took him. And then the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, mentions that account. And it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But the phrase there that says he was not found implies that they were looking for him. Are you with me? They missed his presence. Why else would they be looking for him? If he was just somebody that was, you know, nobody cared anything about, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have been hunting for him or looking for him. They wouldn't have missed him. But the implication is there that Enoch was missed because they looked for him, they hunted for him, they tried to find him. And you know what I believe? I believe that because he walked with God and his relationship with God, in the midst of a world that was full of sin and that was full of darkness, that Enoch was a bright and shining light. And Enoch, I believe, was a refresher to his generation. And that when Enoch was translated and caught up and God took him home, there was people that was looking for an encouraging word. And there was people that was looking to find Enoch. I wonder where Enoch's at. I've got a problem. I need him to pray with me. I've got a situation. I need him to talk to me. Amen. I've got a problem. You know, and Brother Roger works for the school. When I worked over there for the school, you know, and they knew I was a preacher, a Christian. They knew all that. Nobody, you know, they didn't say too much about it or care too much about it. But when somebody was in need and there was a dire need in their life, do you know what they did? They would come over to Lincoln School, and they would find my custodial room and find my office in there, and they would come in there and say, could you pray for me, or would you pray with me about this, or would you pray for somebody? You know why? They knew there was a place that could come where somebody had a relationship with God and that somebody could be a refresher in their life. This world is dried up. This world is dead. This world is looking for men and women today that will carry the torch, that will carry the light, that will be a refresher, that will be an encourager to those who are down and out. God, help you and me to be that one. God, let Abundant Life Church be that oasis in the midst of the dried up desert land. Oh, stand with me this morning. Let's stand and praise the Lord today. Amen. Musicians, singers, would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He oft refreshed me. Maybe it just be a telephone call. Just had you on my heart. How you doing today? Just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I'm here if you need me. Amen. Just a text. Send them a verse of scripture. You don't even have to type it out. Just copy and paste it from your Bible program on your, you know. Send it to them. Say, this is what the Lord laid on my heart for you. Amen. Or go by. Knock on the door. Ring the doorbell. If God lays that on your heart, give them a visit. Say, we're here just to visit with you. Don't have to stay a long time. Just let them know. Do you know, we've heard this before, and it's so true. We've heard it said, people don't care how much you know, but people want to know how much you care. Do you know that's true? People today just want to know how much you care. Can you be a refresher? A life bringer, courage bringer to somebody who's down and discouraged.